on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas. Thanks so much for joining me at the end of your Sunday. Today, I've been taking some time to look back and remember some of the stranger answers to prayer that have either happened in my life or in the lives of others that I've met along the way. It's been said that we tend to remember what we should forget and forget what we should remember. And certainly when we look at the stories of Israel in the Old Testament, we see that all too often God did amazing and remarkable things for them. But as the years pass, those episodes, well, they just slip their minds. That's one reason why the Lord commanded that they celebrate feasts and festivals, because those gatherings nudge them to remember. So tonight, allow me to share three rather unusual answers to prayer. You're going to hear about a strange dream involving a railway station, a vital phone call that probably saved someone's life, and then another dream that reminded a very well-known international celebrity that God still liked and loved him. So, unusual answers to prayer tonight on Lucas on Life, right here on Premier Christian Radio. We're talking about unusual answers to prayer. I was frustrated and angry, and I slammed the front door hard behind me, a noisy amen to what I felt had been an exasperating evening. I'd attended a house group, sang a few songs accompanied by a slightly out-of-tune acoustic guitar, but it was some of the comments that were shared that were the reason for my angst. We'd spent an hour or so chatting about the supernatural. Two of our group had just come back from overseas travel, where they'd apparently witnessed some rather impressive miracles of healing. We'd chatted about the need for us to see more genuine Holy Spirit activity where we live. I should have been inspired by the conversation, but I was irritated instead. Frankly, being treated to a diet of distant stories about God working over time elsewhere or in the past is a bit like being starving and homeless and peering longingly through the bushes at a royal garden party. You might start off merely salivating, but after a while, you get a bit outraged at your own lack of cucumber sandwiches. Hence my irritated door-slamming routine. How come, I raged, God couldn't show up a little more around here? Now, I know all of those, but we live in a culture of unbelief, apologetics routines, but why couldn't God help us clear the aforementioned cultural fog with a few faith-building activities that might get our eyes popping and our hearts quickened? So, as I slammed the front door, I think I closed the door in my own heart as well. I was irritated, angry. That night, I dreamed a dream, the same strange dream over and over. And even as I share it with you now, my potentially perplexed listener, I feel that I'm risking broadcasting from a charismatic twilight zone. Bear with me if you can. In that dream, I was standing on a railway station. It was called Pemberton Station. A railway official stood on the platform and chatted with me while I waited for a train that never actually came. His chat filled me in on all kinds of information about this place called Pemberton. When I woke up, the dream had not evaporated like the morning dew, as most of my dreams do. It was crystal clear, vivid and sharp in my memory. As I lay there in the warm coma that is called waking up, it occurred to me that I would bump into someone called Pemberton that very day, and that I would tell them what the railway porter had told me in my dream, and that it would speak to them of hope and of better days ahead. This was weird, unusual, strange, and would take a major bit of acrobatic organization from God to make such a thing happen, especially as I had never met anyone with the surname Pemberton in my entire life. I was due to speak at a day of leadership training that would be attended by around 60 people, not exactly a cast of thousands from which to pick a Pemberton. I drove excitedly to the venue where we were due to gather, rushed in, and then grabbed the list of pre-registered delegates. My heart turned to lead as I scanned the list and my eyes hurried down in search of P. P for Pemberton. There were none present. It was like a bad taste in my mouth, yet another disappointment to compound my feeling that locked doors were good doors. If faith were a vital sign, I would have been pronounced dead at that moment. Then, just before the first session was due to begin, a breathless couple walked quickly up to the registration table and announced that they wanted to attend the day, but they hadn't had a chance to pre-register. Would that be okay? I smiled my agreement and asked for their names and almost fell over. They were Mr. and Mrs. Pemberton. I think I said something giftedly stupid like, "Nice to meet you. I was on your station all last night while I was asleep." But then I asked if I could talk to them in the break. I couldn't believe it. Suddenly, belief was believable again. So I got to tell them about my dream, which they said made good sense. But I asked them to think about it, share it with whoever they wanted to. You see, I do believe in personal prophecy, but not private prophecy. We laughed and cried some together, and they phoned me a few weeks later to say yes, they'd thought, prayed, and shared the word that I gave them with trusted friends, and they did feel that God had clearly spoken. When I was worn out and faithless, ready to jump off the charismatic ship for good and wave goodbye to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God picked my lock and my brain and beautifully broke through my little defense system. Perhaps that episode happened not only to encourage Mr. and Mrs. Pemberton, but also to remind me once again that there is a God and that He's very interested in every one of our lives. It was a very striking reminder because, as I said earlier, how easily we forget. Who knows? Perhaps you've forgotten. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio. I'm Jeff Lucas, and tonight we're talking about odd and unusual answers to prayer. So brace yourself, because this episode is really very strange. I'm biased, but I do think that we Brits produce some of the best TV drama in the world. Kay and I had been watching a series all the way through in a mammoth binge-watching session, and we'd enjoyed it thoroughly. The series ended and we heard that it was not going to be renewed. It's strange when you mourn the loss of entirely fictional characters that you've never met, but once we knew that our time with their story was ended, we felt irrationally sad. Some weeks later, back in America, I had a dream about that TV series. It included the principal character and one of the supporting actresses. I dreamed that she had died in real life, and that he was heartbroken at the loss. In my dream, he gave a press statement paying tribute to her fine acting skills and said that she would be greatly missed. I woke up in a sweat because the dream had been really vivid. Eventually getting back to sleep, I immediately dreamed the same dream. I woke up again, went back to sleep, and the same thing happened. And so, wide awake now at 3 a.m., I wondered, what was all this about? Wandering into my study, I sat down at my computer, Googled that lead actor's name, and pressed news. And that's when everything got very strange indeed, because an hour earlier, that actor had issued a press release about a colleague saying how sad he was at the news of her passing. While I was dreaming that she died, she had died. This was crazy. I sat staring at my computer screen for a very long time, wondering why on earth this had happened. I couldn't believe that this was just random coincidence. God had something to do with this, but what and why? I did what I usually do when I'm bewildered, which is quite often. I prayed. And it was then that a wild thought landed in my mind, seemingly out of nowhere, which is usually how I hear from God. Make contact with that actor and tell him that I love the people that he loves. What? This was crazy. I had no way of getting hold of this man, this household name. And then the message that I was supposed to deliver was strange in itself. There was no overt mention of Jesus being the one who gives hope, no invitation to come to Christ, just this: God loves the people that you love. So I turned to Facebook, searched for the actor's fan page, which can have unlimited subscribers. And unsurprisingly, he had millions, literally. There was no way I could make a meaningful connection through social media. I sat back in my chair, pondering. And then, suddenly I remembered that a distant friend, someone I'd not seen for years, had some contact with this celebrity earlier in life, before he became famous. Perhaps he still had a connection. So I emailed him and almost immediately got a response. Not only were the two still connected, but they were getting together for a meal within a few days. This was getting very interesting indeed. And so, with some hesitation, I emailed again, sharing the details of the dream, the timing of it, and the message that I felt was behind it. I added that I wasn't asking for any personal contact with the celebrity in question. In fact, I wasn't asking for anything except for a message to be passed on. To my delight, my friend was willing to be the messenger. A week went by. My email box chirped that I'd got a new message, and it was my distant friend, because the two had got together, details of the dream had been passed on, and the actor's response had been a stunned silence, and he'd asked my friend to pass on his heartfelt thanks. What has all this led to? I have no idea. But I do know that God does do some odd things at times. That's not a license for craziness, but when we feel nudged by the Holy Spirit and careful consideration suggests that we're on track with being a part of something that God is up to, we need to get with his program. What about the identity of that by now world-famous celebrity? I promised back then that I would never reveal publicly who he is, and I intend to keep that pledge. Who knows? Perhaps God might trust me with another dream sometime. I do know this. God doesn't speak to me every day, every moment, every week. Sometimes it seems that he's very quiet, and he certainly doesn't answer every prayer the way that I'd like to. He is God, not a genie in a bottle. But sometimes he does take action. He does intervene. And sometimes he does it in very unusual ways. It's a phrase that's bandied around too frequently in Christian circles, "the Lord told me." We've all met those breathlessly confident souls who imply that everything they do is directed by the voice of God. The Almighty is not just on speaking terms with them, but is apparently very chatty, the cosmic choreographer seemingly issuing commands about the minute details of their everyday lives. It's difficult to question them because, like the Blues Brothers, they're on a mission from God. So they're rather insistent about their frequent revelations. Sometimes they affirm that God has told them to do bizarre and illogical things, which stifles any discussion or potential disagreement. Those who insist that God is an extraterrestrial tweeter can inflict great pain. I remember being in a church service when an enthusiastic lady grabbed a guitar and shared a song that she declared the Lord had given her the night before, and now he was instructing her to share it. 11 unpoetic verses and a chorus that involved some high-pitched shrieking later, the shell-shocked congregation privately concluded that if the Lord had indeed given the lady that song, it was probably because he didn't want it. All of which means that I've tended to veer towards cynicism when people constantly announce that God has told them things, which is an unhelpful overreaction. Healthy skepticism is useful when people announce that they've heard the word of the Lord, because we need to test and prove what is offered rather than swallowing it wholesale. Spirituality is a call to abandon everything, but not to kiss our brains goodbye. But I want to stay open to God speaking to me through others and be available to those subtle nudges, impressions, hunches, and prompts that are sometimes the direct work of the Holy Spirit in me, lest I miss a genuine whisper from heaven. And that might be very bad indeed, as I learned when I met Peter and Ricky. For them, a hint from heaven was literally a lifesaver. A bright, joyful couple now living in Spain, Peter and Ricky's easy smiles and relaxed demeanor could suggest that they'd had a carefree life, which they had not. Throughout her childhood, Ricky had experienced terrible abuse. And then came a dark day when, home alone, Ricky was attacked by a man who'd been doing some casual work around their house. But it was then that the phone rang, and rang again, and again, and again. It was Ricky's husband, Peter, who was at work. There was absolutely no reason for him to be calling. Ricky was supposed to be out collecting the children in the late afternoon school run, but Peter could not escape a persistent, overwhelming urge to call home. And so he just kept calling. And when there was no reply, Peter hung up and called again. The attacker, distracted by the constant jangling of the phone, abandoned the assault and made his escape. Other attacks had occurred in that area, some resulting in terrible injuries, and some victims had been murdered. Ricky wonders what her fate might have been if Peter, her husband, had not responded to that inner nudge when he did. The day before the incident, which was anything but incidental, Peter had felt that he should specifically pray that God would protect Ricky from attack. And then for 21 long years that followed that terrible day, he had wrestled with anger towards God because the attack had happened. But then, during the retreat that we were sharing together when they told me the story, it suddenly dawned on him. He had been the answer to his own prayer. And obviously the answer was not as he would have wanted it. He would have preferred that the attack had never happened in the first place. But it was the internal nudge that bore intervention in what might have been an even worse tragedy. Now, in case all of this seems a little too neat, let's acknowledge that God doesn't always speak, intervene, or rescue. The telephone doesn't always ring at the vital moment. Today, awful things have happened, not only to good people, but to God's people. Peter and Ricky's story doesn't guarantee that God will always be the proverbial knight in shining armor. No telephone rang during the traumatic episodes in Ricky's childhood. And perhaps you might feel a touch or a surge of anger as I share their story, because you've suffered horrible experiences and no phone rang. But even though answered prayer always presents difficulty, because every answer begs the question, then why was that plea for help not answered? Nevertheless, Peter's obedience to that nudge teaches me, perhaps teaches us this. God does speak. He does intervene. E.T. is famous for the phrase, phone home. If God wants to whisper that phrase to me or anything else, or give me an inkling, a hint, or a nudge, then I'd like to be someone who has ears to hear and a readiness to respond. Tonight, as I've shared these stories of God's unusual interventions, it might be that particularly that third story impacts you very personally and you'd like to talk to somebody. Premier Lifeline is available Monday through Friday from 9 till 5. 0300 111 0101 is the number. 0300 111 0101. As we go into a new week and we remember that God is involved, He is interested, He is active, let's be open to what He might do with us and even through us. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.